Today's scripture comes from Acts 9:19-28.
Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. After many days had gone by, there was a conspiracy among the Jews to kill him, but Saul learned of their plan. Day and night they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to his word.
Well, good morning, everyone. I want to thank Will Chapman, who is very busy right now with the children up the ramp. He does a great work, he does a great job, and he's got a great heart for the Lord. He made that. And I believe over 100 hot glue sticks went into that guy right there. And you can wear it. It is a suit. And the first thing I thought when I saw it was, I wonder if it'd be too much for me to ask him to build me an Iron Man suit. But I've seen Will wear it, and it's pretty cool. It's amazing. Now, saying that, Andrew, are you here? Andrew, that little piece that you showed me at the end that I said, I'm not sure. I really want that now. Before you jump to your feet, can you meet me at the front for the benediction? Could we do that? Is that okay? All right, bring that piece. The Lord has spoken to me. And I should have listened to you because the Lord was speaking to you. All right. Did you know that a standard 2x4 Lego brick can be connected in many different ways? Actually, two of them together can be connected in 24 different ways, according to Lego. I haven't tried it myself, but I'll take their word for it. But if you get 6 standard Lego pieces, they won't connect 24 different ways. They will connect over 915 million different ways. That's a lot of connections. Bob, we should do a YouTube video where we see how many connections we can make with those Lego bricks. I think it would go viral. I really think so. I'll let you start, okay? I'll check in on you. Children around the world spend roughly 5 billion hours a year playing with, you guessed it, Lego. 5 billion hours. That's a lot of loading and unloading the dishwasher at my house. My kids do play with Lego. Not so much anymore, but they did. They had their heyday for sure. Lego bricks sold in a year would circle the earth 5 times if joined together. And 7 sets of Lego are sold every second of the day around the world. That's pretty cool. There were more than 400 billion Lego bricks that have been stamped, molded, stamped, packaged, and sold since its inception in 1949. It's pretty amazing. What a success story. Take a drive out Hazeldean Road, go on the David Manchester Road, you go to this little store called Play Value Toys, and they've got this huge Lego sign on the side of their building. And you'll be amazed at how much money you can spend on some of those sets. Well, in life, connection is crucial. You might even say that connection is king. And what do I mean by that? Well, a centered or a balanced life will have multiple connections that make up the fabric and the just the center of that life. A life in crisis, on the other hand, will inevitably lack the kinds of connections needed to thrive. Simply put, we're not created to be in isolation. Beginning to realize that that even in regards to the disciplining or punishment of someone convicted of crimes, solitary confinement is one of the most devastating and worst things that you can do to a person convicted. Why? Because we need connection. We all know that in order to be healthy, you need to eat your veggies, you need to exercise. I'm trying to do that more. Why is it that when I realize that I'm going to have to take my shirt off at the beach in the summertime with my family, that I get in this, oh, I got to exercise? Why is that? I should be doing that all year. But you need to eat your veggies, you need to exercise, and you need to get proper sleep. Well, how many of us know that social connections also improve physical and psychological well-being? So part of my exercising, going for a run or riding my bike, as I've been doing since about April this year, and my spinner bike in the basement somewhat over the wintertime, it actually helps improve my emotional state. Physical activity is an important part of that. But social connections improve not only your physical, but your psychological well-being. There are studies that suggest a lack of social connection is a greater issue to a human being than obesity, than smoking, or high blood pressure. So it's pretty significant. It's pretty significant if you lack the social connections needed to thrive. People who feel more connected have consistently registered lower rates of anxiety and depression. Wow. That's pretty cool. It's pretty amazing. It's also at the center of what it means to be a human being. We're created to be connected. There is even evidence to suggest that social connection can save your life by boosting your immune system. You imagine? So, simply being connected to others in relationship can actually save your life. Well, that's pretty cool. Well, let's get into our passage a little bit. Because I want to talk not so much about the physical aspects, although we are going to see that Saul, who later gets renamed Paul and becomes the Apostle Paul, we later see that Saul's connections actually did save his life in a physical way. But here's my first connection. For your soul, the first connection is Jesus. Just simply, there is nothing else that your soul needs more than Jesus. Well, where do we see this in the life of Saul? Well, in our previous passages, we read the road to Damascus, and our pastors did a great job of framing that and leading us through Saul meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. So that is Saul's first connection. That's his first connection that begins this life that in turn creates the thriving life, the vital spiritual life that he has. Saul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Is there a more centered, life-extending connection as this? You know, Jesus says, what would it profit a person if they gained the whole world, if they made every connection they could possibly make in this world? I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and what? And lost his soul? Well, the answer is absolutely zero. Nothing. It would profit him nothing. It would profit her nothing. If they had every relationship under the sun and connected in ways that you could never imagine, right? And it's always fun to play the Kevin Bacon game where, you know, someone names out an actor, male or female actor, and then within five movies you have to try to connect them back to Kevin Bacon. I don't know, maybe we should play that maybe at next time we have a staff retreat or Christmas party. I think Doug would like that game. But at the end of the day, it doesn't profit anybody anything, no matter how many connections you have, whether you're connected to Kevin Bacon or not. Your first connection is Jesus. And Saul's first connection is Jesus on the road to Damascus. Well, I want to ask this morning, just very briefly, very quickly, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, because it's not my job to spend time on this. It's my job to love you. But I want to ask, are you connected to Jesus? Do you know him? I want to use KBC this morning. Hopefully we can remember that, right? KBC. We've heard that a time or two here. And the K is for know. And in your connections, are you connected to Jesus? Do you K-N-O-W him? Well, Saul knows him. Saul has a first-hand experience of meeting the Lord Jesus. And he knows him. He gets to know him very, very well. So that's the first connection. You know, as pastors, that is our goal, is wherever you are in life, we want you to get to know Jesus more. Right? And so if you are a senior saint who received salvation through faith in Jesus decades upon decades ago, our question to you is, do you know Jesus? How well do you know Jesus? Can you know Jesus a little more? I mean, we do that not only through learning more about him, being discipled and learning the teachings of Jesus, but also putting them into practice in our lives. And the head knowledge becomes the heart knowledge and drives our lives and helps us to thrive. But whether you are in that position or you are someone who is just right today saying, well, who's that? We'd love to have a conversation with you and to help you take steps to just know him a little more. So that's Saul's first step, to know Jesus. Well, Saul knew him and it changed his life forever. And the persecutor was transformed into the preacher and the praiser. This perplexed many, including the Pharisees and the chief priests. Okay, that's all my P's. I got my P's all out. So the persecutor becomes the preacher, the praiser, which was perplexing to the Pharisees and the priests. And they say in verse 21, but isn't he the one who was doing the dodgy stuff? And isn't he the one that was actually killing these people, or at least condoning and orchestrating the punishment and persecution of these people that he is now talking about? And this person in particular, this name, Jesus? So it perplexed them. Is it safe to say that his life got transformed? It kind of did a 180, did it not? right? We talk about repentance being, you know, we're living life this way, and repentance, metanoia, is a change of your mind. And so Saul goes from persecuting Christians to praising Jesus with the Christians and telling others about him. That is an absolute 180 change in direction, an absolute different direction for Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. Well, this perplexed them. Isn't this the man who was arresting Jesus' followers? They were astonished, but then we read they got angry, and then they attacked him. Okay, that's all my A's. They were astonished, then they got angry, and then they attacked. They actually tried to kill him, and they would wait outside the city gate, and they would actually wait to pounce on him, not because they wanted to, you know, put a tune into him or speak their mind to him. No, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to just wipe him off the face of the earth. Well, this brings us to Paul's second connection, and it is to other believers. So first and foremost, you need to be connected to Jesus. Saul needed to be connected to Jesus. And the second part is he needed to be connected to other believers. You know, we talk about, okay, here's our KBC. So K is to know Jesus. The B, well, we could easily say believers, you know, other believers. But I want to use what our lead pastor, our pastor team leader, Pastor Bob, talks about very much. We want you to know Jesus, but we want you to find a place to belong. Right? And so Saul is beginning to find the place where he belongs. And we read that there were a group of believers who are followers of Jesus, disciples of Jesus, who come alongside him and around him. And they have a little movement that is going on. So Saul's second connection is to other believers. We read in verse 19, Saul spent several days with the disciples where? Not in Jerusalem. Not where the birth of the church happens, not where the Holy Spirit comes down on the day of Pentecost, but we read that he is with other disciples in Damascus. Now this passage takes the Hebrew passage, "Don't neglect the gathering of yourselves together," to a whole new level. Right? And don't want to eisegete that passage, and we can get into lots of debate about exactly what that passage means. But simply put, you need to be connected with others. Others who know Jesus. Others who are on a journey of life together with Jesus. And so Paul does that. Saul does that. Saul of Tarsus. And we read that it literally saves his life. So as the priests, the Pharisees, and the angry crowd, they plot to kill him. We read that in like a real movie script kind of scene. They lower him in a basket down the wall to safety, and he gets away. And we read that he spends, there's discrepancy whether it's a few years or a few days, but time passes between this and then when he goes to Jerusalem. Paul did life together with these nameless people. Humble servants who helped him navigate the walls of hostility, the walls of conflict, the barriers to the mission that God had for the life of Saul. You think about it, these nameless disciples who help him navigate this hostility, this conflict, this the politics of the day. You know, they probably didn't realize that they were helping the guy who God was going to use to write most of the New Testament. That's pretty cool. That's pretty important, is it? Isn't it? So Heather and I and our family, we do life together with some other believers. And we're connected with a small group because we're connected to Jesus first and foremost. But then we are connected to others. We have a place to belong. And you know what? There are times that I need to call on others. Bless your heart, Pastor Bob. So 5-minute conversations turn into 35-minute conversations. Is that okay? Can I just say 35? Okay. But you know what we talk about? We talk about you guys. We talk about what's going on in our own lives. And not only with my small group that I'm a part of, we do life together. Because we have a place where we belong. And that's my prayer for you. My prayer for you is that we can help you come closer to Jesus. You can know him. K-N-O-W, know him. But that you can also find a place to belong. Talk to us. Talk to me. If you feel the Lord leading you to be connected in a greater way. So Saul knew Jesus, and he discovered where he belonged. This summer will be a great opportunity as you rest, as you head to the cottage, as you head to wherever, to just prayerfully consider where it is that you belong and where it is that God might be connecting you to. We trust and pray that it is right here, and as you look around, you see the ones who you're already connected with. But those are always great conversations to have. The most meaningful relationships you will ever have will be with those you do life with. This literally saved Saul's life. So I thought about having, you know, a little Lego person and doing a reenactment, you know, and we could do it really slow and we could do those time-lapse, you know, a time-lapse video. But so there's the wall of the city. And this wall was built to keep things out. Simply put, built to keep things out. Saul connects not only to Jesus, but he connects with others. But then we read, as he's descended down the wall and he heads for Jerusalem, right? It's a no-brainer. He's going to go where the church has been established, and he's going to go talk with the disciples, and he's going to get connected. And what do we read? What happens in the passage? We read, actually, that they're like, who said what? When? Now? We read they're terrified. I think, to put it lightly, to read they're afraid. They're terrified. And so Saul then connects to the church in Jerusalem. Well, he tries to. They were afraid of him. They tried to join, or he tried to join them, but they were simply all afraid of him. But for one, for Barnabas. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Barnabas, the son of consolation, or the son of encouragement. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we have an individual that is doing what? Is he taking a chance? Could we define it that way? Could we describe it that way? You know, well, but Barnabas took a chance. I don't think so. I don't think Barnabas took a chance at all. I don't think he even thought he was taking a chance. Do you know why? Because he was connected to Jesus, and he was connected to others, and he was listening to God's voice. Because what was God already doing in the life of Saul? God was transforming him. God was leading him to them. And so Barnabas sits down and he has a great conversation with Saul. And he gets all the goods, he gets all the inside scoop. Not secondhand, not third hand. He gets first hand story. And Doug has recently come back from Lebanon, and Doug mentioned about a strategy or method of dialogue. What's your story? Can you tell me your story? and just listening to people's stories. What a wonderful thing to be able to do. But we read that the church here in Jerusalem, actually, they build a wall. Right? They build a wall. It's to keep Saul out. It's a barrier. How is it constructed? It's constructed out of fear. Fear of the unknown. The fear of the what-ifs. The truth is that if God is working in the life of someone and bringing him to you to have that conversation, you have nothing to fear. And so Barnabas does this. Barnabas takes those walls and he allows God to transform them. And God makes a table. God was and already worked in Saul's heart. I wonder, does God do this today? As easy and safe as it is, as it would be, to build walls of protection around Kanata Baptist Church, around our families, around our businesses, around the relationships we have. We're actually called not to build walls, but to build tables. And in order to thrive, we are actually not called to come in and protect. We're actually called to go out and make. To make disciples. Period. The truth is, we do our best to connect with the people that we already know. Now, I don't know about you, but I struggle to connect. I feel so uncomfortable in my own skin sometimes. You know who that is? That is the evil one telling me that Pastor Bud, it's our heads. I looked at the forehead, sorry. The truth is the devil constantly tries to convince me that if Pastor Bob really knew me, he wouldn't want to be my friend. Do you have that voice that goes through you? I sure do. And the truth is I long and I crave to have connection. And when I am connected to Jesus, and when I am getting to know him more and more, and when I belong and I'm connected to a group of like-minded believers and we're doing life together, it will save my life. And instead of building walls and barriers to protect me because of my insecurities, because of my past, because of my transgressions, if I allow God to work, he will take that wall and he will build a table. Barnabas connects with the God of Lego, who has created him to connect. And where Barnabas could have had a wall, God transforms that into a table. And Barnabas connects and strikes a friendship that is part of the story of the advancement of the kingdom of God around the world. Do you realize that you are here today because Barnabas said, "Saul, I'd like to hear your story." Do you know Jesus? Do you belong to others? And are you connected to his church? I hope and I pray that this summer will be a summer of just relaxation, of revitalization, but also a renewal of our passion and our desire to be folks that are KBC connected to Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the ways in which you connect us. Lord, keep doing it. Show us new ways. Show us the 915 million new ways that we can be connected to you by being connected to each other and being connected to our community. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.